This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the March 1st, 2013 podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Topics covered in this week's podcast are traumatic brain injury, vascular disorders, oncology, surgical technique, and basic science. Retrospective analysis of the tolerability and activity of lacosamide in patients with brain tumors. A clinical article by Marlon Garza-Soria and colleagues. Many brain tumor patients present with seizures, and many more remain at risk for developing seizures over the disease course. The management of seizures in such patients is complicated by the numerous adverse effects and drug interactions of traditional antiepileptic drugs, which are seen more frequently in patients with brain tumors than in the general epilepsy population. Lacosamide is a new generation non-enzyme-inducing antiepileptic drug. In this paper, the authors present the results of a multi-site retrospective study of lacosamide in controlling seizures in patients with brain tumors. 74% of 70 patients with primary brain tumors who were enrolled in the study were started on lacosamide because of recurrent seizures. 66% of the patients reported a decrease in seizure frequency. 30% reported stable seizures. 77% of the patients placed on lacosamide did not report any toxicities. This analysis demonstrated that lacosamide was both active and well tolerated as an add-on antiepileptic drug in patients with brain tumors. The drug's novel mechanism of action will allow for concurrent use with other antiepileptic drugs, as documented by its efficacy across many types of antiepileptic drugs used in this population. Targeting accuracy of transcranial magnetic resonance guided, high intensity, focused ultrasound brain therapy. A fresh cadaver model. A laboratory investigation by Dorian Chauvet and co-authors. High-intensity focused ultrasound is a genuine challenge in current approaches to non-invasive brain therapy. It was first introduced in the 1950s, but transcranial applications have long been hampered by the defocusing effect of the skull. The first clinical use of non-invasive MR-guided transcranial focused ultrasound was reported in 2012. Jean Menaud and colleagues achieved central lateral thalamotomy for chronic neuropathic pain in 12 patients. To investigate the accuracy of this promising technology, MR-guided focused ultrasound was performed in 18 fresh human cadaver heads by using an ultrasonic brain therapy system operating at the highest frequency available to date, 1 MHz. Because essential tremor is one of the most promising applications, the target was set to the thalamic nucleus ventralis intermedius. Despite its limitations, namely initial temperature and vascularization, the human cadaver model was shown to be effective for studying the accuracy of the device. The MR temperature mapping showed that the location of the maximum temperature elevation in the cadaver head was less than 1 pixel away from the target, with a mean error of 0.4 millimeters along the right-left axis, 0.7 millimeters along the dorsal-ventral axis, and 0.5 millimeters along the rostral-caudal axis. Chicken embryonic brain. An in vivo model for verifying neural stem cell potency. A laboratory investigation by Alex Karazi and co-workers. In vitro propagated neural stem cells are promising candidates for the treatment of neurodegenerative disease. But potency may be lost during the tissue culture expansion required to generate clinically significant cell numbers for implantation. In vivo models are designed to determine whether cells can incorporate into developing brain, migrate, and differentiate. Alex Karazi and colleagues from Stem Medica Cell Technologies, Inc., Rady Children's Hospital, the University of California, San Diego, and Animal Cell Therapies, Inc., sought to ascertain whether expanded cells retained potency in both models. They compared potency using cells expanded under gradually increasing concentrations of fetal bovine serum as a maturation factor. In vivo potency was studied following transplantation into the lateral ventricle of chicken embryonic brain. Transplanted cells grown in a serum-free environment successfully engrafted, and this correlated with their ability to differentiate in vitro. Neural stem cells grown at a 0.1% concentration of fetal bovine serum failed to demonstrate in vivo migration, but still differentiated in vitro. Cells grown in higher concentration lost both the in vivo engraftment and in vitro differentiation potential. During cell maturation, in vivo potency was lost first, followed by in vitro cell production and marker expression. The authors conclude that although the in vitro assay may be of limited predictive value for effectiveness of neural stem cells therapy, in vivo migration may provide an important assay of potency. Predictive value of neuromarkers supported by a set of clinical criteria in patients with mild traumatic brain injury. S100B protein and neuron-specific enolase on trial. A clinical article by Harold Christoph Wolf and colleagues. The role of the neuromarkers S100B protein and neuron-specific enolase, or NSE, in deciding whether to perform a cranial CT in patients with mild TBI has been well established. The object of this study was to determine the predictive value of a set of preclinical and clinical risk factors combined with the serum measurement of these two neuromarkers. The authors performed a prospective cohort study of 107 patients with head trauma. The inclusion criteria were as follows: admission to the hospital within 3 hours after injury, a Glasgow Coma Scale score between 13 and 15, and low-impact blunt trauma. The main goal was to determine if elevated serum levels of S100B and NSE and other predefined risk factors are associated with a trauma-related finding on cranial CT. In 25 patients, an intracranial traumatic lesion was detected on CT. Analysis showed a significant effect in using the six variables of S100B, NSE, nausea, amnesia, vomiting, and loss of consciousness, with an area under the curve of 0.88. Using the single variables of S100B and NSE alone, the levels of significance were lower, with areas under the curve of 0.63 and 0.64, respectively. The author's data suggest that a combination of biomarkers and traditional risk factors may help in accurately detecting an intracranial lesion. Subclinical ischemia, verified by somatosensory evoked potential amplitude reduction during carotid endarterectomy. Negative effects on cognitive performance. A clinical article by Tomohiro Inui and co-authors. Although the mechanisms underlying neurocognitive changes after carotid endarterectomy, or CEA, are poorly understood, factors that result in intraoperative ischemia, such as hypoperfusion during cross-clamping or the dislodgement of microemboli during vessel dissection, may play a role. Data obtained in 81 patients who underwent neuropsychological examinations before and 6 months after unilateral CEA with routine shunt placement were evaluated. Neuropsychological examinations included the Wechsler Adult Intelligence Scale and the Wechsler Memory Scale. As a surrogate for hyperperfusion during cross-clamping, a reduction in somatosensory evoked potential amplitude of more than 50% and longer than 5 minutes independently and negatively affected cognitive performance after CEA. This was shown in the multiple regression analysis after adjusting other clinical variables such as new lesions on postoperative diffusion-weighted images. The entire cohort showed that successful unilateral CEA with routine shunt use does not deteriorate postoperative cognitive function in the group rate analysis. Management of intracranial hemorrhage in patients with left ventricular assist devices. A clinical article by Thomas Wilson and co-workers. The prognosis for advanced heart failure is poor, with a one-year mortality rate approaching 75%. Traditionally, therapy for advanced heart failure has consisted of medical management and, in selected individuals, heart transplantation. Increasingly, left ventricular assist devices, used either as a bridge to transplantation or as destination therapy, have supplemented traditional medical care. Though these devices have been shown to improve morbidity and mortality rates in advanced heart failure, they place patients at an increased risk of intracranial hemorrhage due to required treatment with antiplatelet and anticoagulation agents. These agents are necessary to reduce the long-term risk of embolism and pump failure. Only limited data exist on the risk and benefits of reversing and withholding antiplatelet and anticoagulant agents following intracranial hemorrhage in this patient population. Additionally, the outcome following intracranial hemorrhage is not well described. In their cohort, the authors found that holding and reversing antiplatelet and anticoagulant agents in the short term was not associated with any complication such as clinical embolic events or pump failures. Additionally, in clinically stable patients, reinitiation of these medications was not associated with additional bleeding complications. For patients with intraparenchymal hemorrhages, the mortality rate was high and surgery did not appear beneficial. Interestingly, in survivors, intraparenchymal hemorrhage was not an absolute contraindication for future heart transplantation. Thank you for listening to the Journal of Neurosurgery. The Journal of Neurosurgery mobile app is now available. You can find it in iTunes and the Google Play Store. Just search for JNSPG to download the app for your mobile device today. You can also follow the Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group on Twitter and now also on Facebook.